Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
At our values as a church, at our foundations, and sort of all of this builds our culture and determines what we are. So we're going to talk about our foundations and what it means to be a part of the church as Christ intended. And it really follows on from what Ben was speaking about the last couple of weeks about who the church is, what she represents. So over the next 5 weeks, see if I can do this without breaking it. We're going to be talking about community, biblical truth, being in God's presence, proclaiming Christ, having that outward focus, what it means to serve, and all of that leads to an authentic community. And this is really what Christ Church is about. We're going to start. I'm going to speak today about truth. And I'm going to, if you've got your Bibles with you, you can turn to John 8. And we're going to read 31 to 36. Just before I dive into this, just to give you a bit of background about what's going on in the story around this. Jesus has been teaching in the temple courts, and the Pharisees decide that they don't really agree with what Jesus is teaching, that he's attracting too many people, and so they decide to try and catch him out, and they bring in before him a lady who's been caught in adultery. And this is a catch, because basically the Jews weren't allowed to condemn anyone to death. But the Mosaic law, the law that God gave to Moses, stated that the price for adultery was death. And so there was this catch-22, as the Pharisees saw it, that either way, whatever Jesus was going to answer was going to be a problem. And it would condemn him, basically, to being taken by the Romans, or it would make a nonsense of everything that he was teaching. And Jesus, being wonderful and amazing, curves round the issue, and he sort of says, well, if any of you guys haven't sinned, then you're able to condemn this lady to death. And, of course, no one could sort of stand against that argument. So then later on, Jesus is teaching in the temple courts again, and he's got the crowds around him. And the Pharisees come up, and they're annoyed at what he's saying, because basically Jesus is talking about who he is. And the Pharisees turn around and say, well, you can't teach this stuff because you're testifying about yourself. You need someone else to testify about who you are. That would be, you know, the better way of teaching it. And Jesus responds basically saying that they don't know who he is because, first of all, they don't really know who they are. And they don't recognize who Jesus is because they can't see the truth. So in the middle of this passage, Jesus describes to us what truth is and why it is important. And that's why I chose this passage, because it tells us what truth is as Jesus sees it and why it's important. And that is the fundamental reason why it's one of our foundations, why it's important to us as a church. So, all of that by an introduction. John 8, verse 31 to 36. to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are, excuse me, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, that's the Pharisees, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. It's interesting that they should choose that argument because at the moment they're in the middle of a Roman occupation. So they're choosing their own version of what they want to say to challenge Jesus. How can you say that we shall be set free? So Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It goes on and Jesus expands sort of further. If you get time, go and read John 8. I've not got time to expand into it further, and felt that was enough to give us what God had been saying to me to bring to you today. So, what is truth then? How does it compare to the concepts about facts and honesty? And because we very often muddle those things all together. I'm going to admit that I'm a scientist. It's something I don't often admit to because it brings a whole load of connotations with it. But it's what I do for my work. It's also a part of who I am in that I love asking questions. I love finding facts and linking things together and working out how things work, why they work. That's essentially what sort of a scientist does, is they take a bunch of facts and they try and think about what links all these facts together. And then they'll come to other scientists and present those, and they get opportunity to review them. And so there becomes a collective gathering around those facts. And if they can get through all the challenges, they present this paper, the work in a paper, and that then gets reviewed. And if enough people agree with it, then it becomes a truth. And so that's how science works, that if there's enough people who agree with a statement, then that becomes accepted as being true. There's a problem with that approach. And that's that effectively we're making ourselves God. That we're defining truth in our own image. And all of that depends on what facts we've gathered together. So here's an interesting question. Audience participation, please. What color is the sun?
White.
Oh, he's been reading my notes. But a lot of people would turn around and say, no, the sun's yellow. Exactly. And orange and red, because at some times of the day, as it goes, it changes color. And actually, what's affecting that is the Earth's atmosphere, that certain colors don't manage to get through the atmosphere. And so the sun is indeed white, yeah? But if all you see is stood here on Earth looking up, you might say it's yellow, or when it's down low, it's orange, or when it's really low, it's red. But the truth of the matter is that the sun is white. It throws off a lot of energy and creates the colors all the colors, which we then see as being white. But, you know, it just depends on where you're viewing things from. You look at evolution, and this is becoming a contentious issue in that many scientists these days are actually coming to the point that the theory of evolution doesn't quite meet all the facts as you sort of preach it, yeah? So there are many ways of interpreting the facts and building theories, but actually the truth of the matter is what God says. So, truth is deeper than just facts, yeah? Facts don't determine truth. There's also that word honesty, and I think this is what we confuse quite often when we're talking about truth, is we talk about being honest, and it's really sort of what, when I came to look at this, what's the difference between truth and honesty? There's a guy that I came across called Matthew Frederick, and he's published a number of books, but one of them's called 101 Things I Learned in Law. And this was his statement. Honesty and truthfulness are not the same thing. Being honest means not telling lies. Being truthful means actively making known all the full truth of a matter. That is, I don't know whether this guy is a Christian, but you put that into the context of the church, and as a foundation, we're here to tell the truth. We're here to testify to the full truth. And there are things that we don't understand. There are things that, you know, life isn't rosy, but God is in control of everything. And that is the truth. Yeah? We might like to sugarcoat, and often if you look at a Christian's life, you'll go, they've got it all together. You know, they go on a Sunday, they're worshipping God, and life's just a bed of roses for them. It's amazing. I wish I was them. But actually, the reality is, we're going through struggles. Yeah? There are storms that come our way. That's the truth of it. It doesn't stop, our situation doesn't stop expressing that joy as we were hearing God teach to us this morning, that actually God's giving us joy to go through the circumstances. Yeah? Our circumstances shouldn't define who we are or how we react. But the truth of the matter is God's in control. It's fascinating, you know, that we're called to be truthful. Yeah? We're not called to be honest. As part of being truthful, we should be honest, yeah? But we're not called to be honest. In the situation of a court, the lawyer, the solicitor, is to stand up there and he's to make the best case of the facts. And so he's to present things well, to win the argument, so to speak. But we're not called to be a lawyer or a solicitor for God. We're called to be a witness. And there's an interesting thing that in the court of law, the witnesses are called to give an oath before they testify. And that goes something like, I swear by Almighty God that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what we're called to as Christians. We're called to testify to God, to what he's done in our lives, to how amazing he's done things. And that's our testimony. We're not called to butter it all up. We're not called to tell certain parts and not others. We're called to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So you can see truth is something different to facts. It's something different to honesty. But it's something that's fundamental to Christianity, and it's a fundamental to what we want to establish in this church. So why is the truth important? Why do we value it? I guess, first and foremost, you might say, well, without truth, without honesty, we'd end up with chaos. You know, the thing about truth, about honesty, is that it allows us to build trust. That we begin to trust what Ben says because he preaches the truth. We begin to trust what Matt says because he sings the truth. Yeah? So, in John 13, a bit further on from where we read, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You might think, I've just switched tack here, and I'm talking about love. But if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, which is the passage that was often quoted about love, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. What was God speaking to us this morning? The importance of his love for us and to overflow out of us. So love and truth are bound up together. And Jesus told us that we needed to be people who love. In fact, it would characterize his church. And a part of that love is truth. And a part of it is trust. Everyone expects truth. You know, you look out in the world and they want honesty, they want truth, they want something to be able to build on, to trust. And, you know, they even try and teach their kids to be honest. And the question I have is, that's great, that's fantastic. Do we value it? Is it something we treasure? Are we teaching our children not just to be honest, but are we teaching them the truth? It's a challenge to do that, but particularly in this world where there are lots of different sort of arguments going on, we need to teach what truth is. Finally, I want to say, I've kind of already said it, but Jesus tells us to. It's a hallmark of Christianity that actually what we're called to do is testify to the truth. We're called to tell the truth, and that is that I was lost. I was bound up in doing things my own way, and it wasn't God's way. And God came along, and he broke into my life, and he's able to create what he actually destined me for, that I speak about the goodness of God, and I speak about it every day. That's his purpose for me. It's his purpose for each one of you, is for us to be focused on telling people the truth. Because people really, deep down, want to know what the truth is. So how do we determine the truth? How do we work out? Well, that first thing from John 8 is that we hold to Christ's teaching. We look at what Jesus taught. And we need to do that, not just in our head, not even just in our heart, but it needs to have an action with that. It needs to come out. And that's part of what it means to be a disciple. But how do you do that? Well, there's a number of things. The first is reading your Bible. Our Bibles are a treasure. They're a deposit that wise men of God wrote down what Jesus said. But not just what Jesus said. They wrote down what God has done from the very beginning, right through looking into the future and what he will do. And so our Bible tells us all about Jesus. You'll find that the Bible doesn't just talk about the historical events, but it talks about Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, the before Jesus came along, there's lots of things that talk about Jesus. In fact, we say that the whole Bible is really about Jesus, because he came down as God. He came to earth to become human and to live and show us how we can live. And the way that we know that is by reading our Bibles. This morning we've sung songs. They're all based in biblical truth. All those songs are about what the Bible teaches us. Yeah? We're not just singing for singing's sake. When you sing a song, there's something that goes on in your head that activates a different portion, and it's somehow easier to remember it. Sing songs to God. Sing worship. And it will bring in biblical truth into your life. Thing is, about the Bible, it's very easy to read it on its own and to misinterpret bits. It's very easy to think that it's just a series of stories put together. It's a series of books just put together. It's very easy to think it doesn't apply in today's culture. It's very easy to think that it's just got that historical context. It's very easy to take bits of the Bible out of context. But all of it, the fullness, is good for teaching. It's good for rebuking. It's good for correcting and training in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3, by the way. That the whole Bible is good for us. And it formulates who God is, but also how we should outwork what God has planned for us. So how do we avoid the pitfalls of just interpreting the Bible in a wrong manner? Well, the second way is with the Holy Spirit. Ben brought that word about refresh yourself in the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. And if you've not been filled before, there is opportunity there. And, you know, we're to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. But when we come to read our Bibles, engage with the Holy Spirit. It's always a good thing to sort of say, God, will you teach me? Holy Spirit, will you teach me and highlight what's important here? What do I need to take away to my situation here and now? What are you going to tell me, God? There's a sense of excitement that comes along with that. Paul, when he was talking to the Galatians, said, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. Our freedom has boundaries. Yeah? This was what Jesus was trying to get across to the Pharisees. It's not about being able to walk anywhere and do whatever you want. There are boundaries set by truth. I was in a discussion on Wednesday or Thursday with work colleagues. We were just talking over coffee, and they were talking about game. The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Obviously, I play it so much that, you know, I know it by heart. So all of this is a revelation to me. But what they were saying is that one of the things about it is you can go anywhere. You can do anything you like. And it's amazing. And there's a part of me going, yeah. And then one of the girls turned around to me and sort of, or turned around to the group and said, the problem is you don't know whether you're in the right place for the plot to unfold. You can be in a completely wrong place on the map, and the plot doesn't, you don't know what's going on. As I thought about that, there's an importance to walking with the Holy Spirit, to being where God calls us to be at the right time, so that we hear the plot for our lives unfold at the right time and in the right place. We always sort of say, you know, oh, it will happen, you know, God's timing is perfect. Yes, it is, but there are provisos on that. It's on the basis that we seek God, that we seek the Holy Spirit, that He will put us in the right place, but we need to be following where the Holy Spirit leads us. Now, there is bountiful grace, and God comes to us. You know, that's when I was imagining that wax mountain dissolving, yeah? Yeah, I was kind of walking towards God, but God was running to me. God comes to us. There is a bountiful grace in that He does most of the movement. But that shouldn't deny my responsibility, that I've got a responsibility to follow God's Holy Spirit where He leads us. In Colossians 1, Paul says there, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Amazing. Another thing that helps us with just hearing the truth and speaking the truth is fellowship. Acts 2 talks about the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And a part of the apostles were was, of course, that they were teaching what Jesus had said. So they're teaching what our Bibles actually tell us. Yeah, a lot of that is the written down work of the apostles. The apostles, however, are still important in this day and age, and there are apostles to the church. We have Jeremy Simpkins, who looks out for this church. And the idea, so apostle is a big word in some ways. I'm sorry, I'm used to using these words. But an apostle is from the Greek, and the Greek meaning for it is a sent one or a messenger. So their thing is, in the Bible, Paul is talking to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, and he says, so Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach maturity and unity in the faith. So Christ gave apostles to the church, and he gave them to equip us. Yeah? So we are equipped by someone who is sent to the church to send. So part of the church's role is in sending people out into various areas around the world. But that's what apostles do. They also bring a stability vote to the church. And so when you look at what Paul and Peter and John and the rest of the disciples did within the church, they spoke wisdom into the church, and they spoke stability and unity, and they pinpointed where there were issues that the elders had missed, and they tore into that. And that's why we value apostles, because they bring a truth, they bring a dimension of the truth to the church here. Fellowship is key, okay? God didn't intend, as Ben was teaching us the last couple of weeks, God didn't intend for us to be a Christian on our own. We very easily could get picked off there. Community is important, and we'll hear more of that in coming weeks. But the community of church is valuable. I'm going to finish up and just say, in order for us to know the truth, we need to know who Jesus is. That is fundamental, because that will help us in testifying to what the truth is. So we need to know who Jesus is. It's what Jesus was saying in John 8 there. Yeah? You need to know me. More than that, we need to know who we are. We are no longer slaves. Yeah? God's great message is, by his grace, he took us from the gutter, from choosing to do things our own way, and he's taken us out of being a slave of sin and put us into being a child of God. That's who you are. It just blows my mind. I don't understand it at all, how we can be adopted into God's family, where he, God the Father, is our Father. We get to call him Abba, Father, my Father. That is God's intent for us. We're heirs and co-heirs with Christ. Yeah? We get this amazing bounty of what God has given for the whole world, but we get to encourage the world in what that is, that God has a plan and a purpose, and it's for good, and it's bigger and better than any of us can imagine. It's bigger and better than what Trump can bring up through being the leader of the world. it's bigger and better than, you know, what is going on through Brexit. It's bigger and better than what is going on in your life. God has a plan and a purpose, and we get to be co-heirs in that. Terry Virgo published a quote yesterday, and he said, "Don't simply note the truth. Celebrate the truth. Sing it. Revel in it. Make sure it's doing good. It's doing you good. So that the enemy's lies don't penetrate your soul. If for no other reason, this is why it's important to have truth as a foundation of who you are and of who we are." Just want to finish by reminding us of the prophecy that Rob Horn brought to this church at the weekend away. And he said, "God's signature is on this church, that we will be defined by, one, our worship with all our heart; two, that we hold tightly to the gospel, we hold the gospel tight to our heart and declare it with our mouth; and three, we live in a world where we see need and step into it. Number two is all about the truth, that we hold it tight to our heart and that we proclaim it with our mouth."
I'm going to pray in a second, because I want to pray for us. This truth that June has been talking about, if you believe it, if you grasp hold of it, it can't fail but change your life. The fact that Jesus died for you, the fact that you were, Ephesians 2 says, we were separated from the love of God, but Christ died. But Christ died for us and made us alive with Christ. And that truth changes everything. It changes everything. It changes the whole of your life. And so this truth that Julian's just been saying about, it's not something that we just like hold in our minds and we kind of just believe. Actually, we live it out because it changes everything. And I just want to encourage you, if you've not... if you haven't believed that truth, or you haven't ever grasped hold and said, "Yes, Jesus, I believe you're alive, I want to follow you," you can do that today. You can say it, you can do that, and believe me, it will change everything. It will change everything. Your day may look from the outside exactly the same, but everything else inside will be completely different. So I'm going to pray for us that we will be a church that grasps hold of that, and give you a chance that if you want to take hold of that truth for yourself, that you can. So if you want to close your eyes, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your truth. God, I want to thank you for the truth that I was nowhere near you, God. God, that I didn't have a chance of having a relationship with you, Lord Jesus. That my destination was hell, was eternal separation from you. But you stepped into my life. But you changed everything, Lord God. You showed me the truth that Jesus Christ loved me so much that he was willing to go to the cross for me, Lord God. And that truth I build my life upon, Lord God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that I would live that. I pray that we would be a church that lives out of that truth, that you love us and that you died for us so that we have a relationship with you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, if there's anyone here, Lord God, who hasn't accepted that truth, that you died for them, Lord God, I pray, Jesus, we've been talking about mountains melting like wax, and we've been talking about chains being broken, Lord God, I pray that would be, that those images would be true. They would happen over life this morning, God. I pray, Jesus, that people here this morning, maybe for the first time, would accept your truth, accept that you, Jesus Christ, died for them. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.